It's On Second Thought. I'm Celeste Headlee.
Good morning, Celeste. How may I be of service?
Who is this?
My name is Hal PR885.
Okay, Hal, I have human producers that I prefer to robots. Sorry about that.
As you wish.
I'm really not sure robots could produce a radio show, but they might be capable of a lot more than we think. Students at Georgia Tech were part of a recent social experiment, but they didn't realize they were part of it at the time. College of Computing Professor Ashok Goyal teaches an artificial intelligence class every semester, and he enlists the help of teachers' assistants to help answer students' questions for his online class. This last semester, he added an additional TA, only this TA was an AI, artificial intelligence. Professor Goyal is my guest today. Hi there.
Hello.
And he's actually here in the studio, so I can attest he's a real person. Logan Gabriel joins us also. He's one of the students in the online class. Hi, Logan.
Hello.
So when did you discover, Logan, that you'd been asking questions of an AI all semester?
So it was actually towards the end of the semester. I think, you know, after the final exam, and Professor Goyal just made a post and said, hey, wanted to let you guys know you've been in an experiment, and one of the TAs, Jill Watson, is actually an AI agent.
Was that a surprise to you?
It was an absolute surprise. You know, the feeling that I give to other people when they ask me how I felt was kind of like watching a long movie, and at the very end there's this huge twist that kind of just shocks you and makes you, you know, wow, I did not see that coming at all.
Professor, what was the purpose of using an AI to answer students' questions?
You know, this is a very popular course. There are about 300 students who take this course.
Wow.
And they post something like 10,000 postings on the discussion forum.
Per semester? 10,000 per semester? Wow.
That's like 100 emails per day, right?
Yeah.
So we were thinking about if we could automate some of the question answering, the frequently asked questions, because otherwise it's an enormous amount of load on the teaching staff. So that's how we started. We thought we could just perhaps automate the answering of some routine questions so that, A, that engages the students, because students ask questions at all time of night, over the weekend, and AI can answer those questions at any time of the night or over the weekend. And at the same time, reduces the load for the teaching staff.
Did you notice, Logan, that Jill happened to seem to be awake at all hours?
You know, I didn't really notice that much during it.
Looking back, you were like, oh, wait, yeah, she was awake at 2 a.m.
Right, yeah.
now, you found out, Ashok, that there was a series of questions that seemed to get answered over and over going back years, right?
That's right. So I have been teaching this course for quite a while.
Yeah.
And every semester, there were this accumulation of 10,000 questions, about 10,000 questions. And we could see there were patterns of those questions. Students asked the same kind of questions again and again. That's what we exploited here.
So, but when you first released the AI, not to students, but when you first gave her a shot at answering questions, she had trouble. Her answers were not very good. Why was that?
Indeed, you're exactly right, Celeste. Initially, the answers were not very good. And the reason was that when students ask the same questions again and again, they use different sequence of words. So I may ask a question like, when is assignment due? Or is assignment due on August 8th? Or will I be penalized if the assignment is due on August 8th and is submitted on August 9th? Same question, different forms. So initially, when students would ask this sort of different question, same question with different forms, Jill would get confused among them.
Logan, can you give me an example of a question that you asked Jill? Do you remember one?
So I don't think I ever asked one, but I remember going back, you know, and a bunch of students also did this. We went back and we found some of the questions that Jill Watson answered. And it was, you know, more basic questions that were kind of just about the syllabus, or I actually believe the one that I saw was about when an assignment was due. And Jill just gave back a very simple and complete answer.
When you went back though, Logan, could you say, oh yeah, that was a perfect sign this was a computer? Or does it still seem convincing when you read it, knowing that it was an AI?
Oh, I mean, absolutely not. If there was no announcement that Jill Watson was an AI, I don't think anyone could have known that it was. It was just you know, a perfectly verbose answer that a human would give. So
Ashok, does Jill Watson pass the Turing test? Let me remind listeners, we've talked about the Turing test before here on Second Thought. The Turing test was an old standard of AI in terms of, can the AI convince a human that they are also human? Would you say that Jill Watson passes that because she convinced the student she was a human being?
Since this claim has been made by several commentators on this, I hesitate to make a claim like that. That's a very strong claim. That's been a milestone for AI for 60 years. And I would be very cautious about a claim.
Why?
Like that.
In what way do you think she might not pass the Turing test?
I would put it slightly differently. I would say that it is relatively easy now to pass the Turing test without really having deep intelligence. So last year, or 2-3 years back, there was another contest in which somebody pretended to be a 13-year-old boy from Ukraine and pretended that he was having language problems and so on. And therefore, it appeared as if the boy, as if the bot had passed the Turing test. As it turned out, the bot really was not very intelligent. So the Turing test is a test of intelligence to requires deeper intelligence, deeper understanding than Jill currently has. But I can share another story with you that's going to come in fall. This will connect with something that Logan was saying as well. In fall, we're going to again have the same class. There'll be about 10, 12 human TAs. This time, we're going to introduce 2 or 3 AIs. We're going to mix them up, and it'll be the student's job to find out which one is the AI and which one is the human TA. So they'll
what do they get if they figure it out?
Ah. I guess they get to take one of the AIs out or something.
Logan, do you think you could have determined if you had been given that assignment?
Maybe, yeah. But I think it would have been very,
convinced.
Very hard.
Yeah. Well, I mean, what, Logan, what do you take away from this? This was a class on artificial intelligence, and you didn't know you were interacting with an AI. So does that help you in terms of educational terms?
I mean, absolutely. I think it was a great example to show just, the path of technology that we're on. And I think in the near future, every single one of us will be involved in some way with an AI agent, whether, you know, it's a simple agent or a very complex one. So, yeah, I think it was great. Very, very inspiring. So.
What do you need to add next to Jill or whatever the AI's name will be? A sense of humor, maybe?
That would be great. We're thinking of adding some personality now. So if you're going to have 2 or 3 AIs, how do you make these 2 or 3 AIs?
How do you distinguish them?
How to distinguish them? So perhaps each one of them will have some kind of a personality. But I'm not going to tell you any more than that, because then the secret will be out.
Yeah, and then everyone will get an A. You're going to give them automatic A for the whole semester, right?
Yeah.
No, don't hold him to that. I'm just speaking out of turn. So what do you then take away from this? What does this teach you as an expert in AI about what may be our next step when it comes to artificial intelligence?
I think there are 2 or 3 major takeaway lessons. One is that AI has now come to a level of sophistication that we can, in fact, introduce AIs in the middle of human society, and humans are sometimes unable to tell which one is human, which one is AI. The second is that...
Is that a good thing? Do you think that's a good thing for us not to be able to tell if it's an artificial intelligence?
I see nothing wrong with it. I think it's an exciting time. It's the beginning of a new era in which we start thinking about human intelligence and artificial intelligence in new ways.
I'm just thinking of, you know, all the science fiction movie we've seen where not knowing when you're dealing with a robot turns out really catastrophically.
But our AIs are all very nice AIs.
Famous last words. Okay, I interrupted you. And what were your other takeaways?
I think we are also at the beginning of an era where there's going to be a lot of social experimentation on how humans react to AIs. You know, we have been talking about AIs all this time, but now AIs are in our middle. We live with them, we play with them, we work with them, we learn with them. Would it make a difference to student behavior in the class if, let's say, Logan knew that in the middle of all of these students or NTAs are also 3 AIs? Would the students actually talk the same way, or will they behave differently? I don't know.
I don't think Logan. Logan, do you know the answer to that?
No, I honestly couldn't say.
And in the 30 seconds we have left, Logan, does this make you more or less interested in artificial intelligence?
Absolutely more interested.
Well, at least in that way, it totally worked.
It's a beautiful way of teaching and learning about AI.
I thought so, too.
I have been speaking with Georgia Tech Professor Ashok Goyal and student Logan Gabriel. Thank you both so much.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you. You are not a robot.